Hello and welcome back to Community, the EcoVillage podcast from Gen Europe. How can we confront systemic injustices and work towards a more just and peaceful world? What role does love and compassion play in addressing global challenges? Today, we're honored to share a compelling keynote by Aida Al-Shibli, peace activist, Tamera community member, and indigenous Palestinian Bedouin woman. Interviewed by Teodora Radulescu during our annual European EcoVillage gathering, held in Engsbach in 2024, Aida Al-Shibli calls us to confront the systemic crisis we live within. Her words challenge us to recognize our roles within these systems, reminding us that everything is political and urging us to take a stand for life, not for a side. Drawing on her Tamera community's teachings, Aida advocates for love as a core political force. Join us now as Aida's words invite us to reflect on how we can stand for life amidst the world's crisis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aida. Nice to have you here with us. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions for you. Are you ready?
Not yet. I'm still impacted with the topic of nudity that was in the space, where I'm putting on me 1, 2, 3, 4. I was invited to speak in a summer. It's August, and like, where's the summer? I come from the East, so I'm defrozing. It takes me time. So I'm an example of slowing down.
Okay.
Let's slow down. And before answering any question, I want to give gratitude, because this is our ways of being as Bedouin people, is to give gratitude. Mm. Gratitude to be invited to speak. Gratitude that I have a platform to raise my voice. Gratitude to this land to welcome us, to allow us to be, to dance, to make music, to shine. So grateful that you spoke yesterday and asked the spirits of the land to welcome us and embed us in this place. I'm grateful to know so many faces. I feel already embedded in a bigger family, planetary community. So I'm grateful.
Thank you. So maybe I just start with our first question. It's a very easy one. How does the pain of the world touch you? And where does it meet you, Aida?
Good response, you see? Always say easy. Yalla.
Yalla.
Bring it.
Habibi. Would you like to share with us?
Yeah. As you said in the introduction, I was born in Palestine to indigenous tribes. And yesterday already, you told us some of the stories of indigenous people and their thrive to survive. And while you were speaking, I thought, wow, you're almost telling my story. So you took away a lot of burden that I would need to speak here. And many people also here to look into this space and see how many people of color from the global south and other places, many of us would know what is the story of indigenous tribes to survive. And plus that my tribe is surviving and still surviving, trying to survive an occupation, a military occupation that's imposed on us. Add to that that after 76 years of catastrophe, of Nakba, today there's a great bleeding wound, adding to another genocides that are happening in the world. How many of you know how many genocides are happening right now? More than one. Maybe I say a few examples. in Myanmar, in China, in Syria, in Yemen, in Republic of Africa, in Gaza. The last genocide that happened in Europe was 30 years ago in Serbia. 8,000 people were killed. So this land knows genocide. Another genocide that happened and catastrophe that happened 80 years ago to 6 million Jewish people, also in the land of Europe. Right now in Gaza, 40,000 people were killed. 10,000 people are still missing under the rubbles. 100,000 people are severely injured when there are no more functioning hospitals in Gaza. Gaza have been under siege for the last 17 years. I refuse to call it prison because prison is for criminals. I don't believe in prisons at all. We can speak about it later, that this whole topic of punishment that we created in our modernity does not fit with land, does not fit with earth. But right now there are systems of oppression that are killing people. And I want to distinguish between systems and between people. I'm a person who, as being born in a feminine body, and my whole biography contains a lot of intersectionality of oppression. A female body, an indigenous person, in times of everybody wants to run toward modernity, Palestinian under occupation, born to the Muslim faith in times of Islamophobia. All of this, all of my identities were so rejected. So I had to learn love and to lean on love, to know that it's my biggest resource. And with embarking on a journey of understanding what is love and how it can become a force for change, my first analysis is to distinguish between the systems and me. So when I tackle patriarchy, I love to be in spaces where men, people who identify as men born into male bodies, can do the dissect between themselves as a male body and patriarchy. But if I'm sitting with a man and he cannot make that distinguish, I'm in troubles. I don't feel safe. I speak a lot about systematic racism, white supremacy. And if I'm sitting with a white person and go shrink, it's difficult. And so how is it that we distinguish between systems that are oppressing us and the people? I'm going to speak about the genocide that is happening in Gaza. I include in my love and in my rising for justice, love and appreciation to so many Jewish people who say, not in my name, not in my name, and they take a stand for life. I speak these numbers not to shock you and not to collect your empathy. I speak these numbers because 80 years ago, when a Holocaust happened to Jewish people, many of German people said, we didn't know. 6 million people were slaughtered. And now you know. You know what's happening in Gaza. You know what's happening in Sudan. You know what's happening in Syria, in Yemen. And notice, all the spots that I mentioned, they are in the Global South. Just notice. So we know. And when we know, we can take a stand. And my invitation that we take a stand for life. don't be automatically taking a stand to this side or to that side. That's polarization. I want to, when I also make a mistake as a collective, tell me, embed me with love, and tell me that's wrong. I love you, but your actions are wrong. So the ability to distinguish between judgment and condemnation. I know maybe the majority of you are Christians, maybe. I put an assumption on you. And I mean, Jesus is from my hometown, so I can speak about him a lot. We are coming from the same ancestry. And Jesus, and the Christian mythology speaks a lot, do not judge, so you are not judged. And I say in these times we need to judge. We need our ability of judgment to judge situations. We are all the time making judgments. We are all the time making sense. And the question, do we judge and exclude you from my heart? Or I judge the situation and I call you back to love? Mm-hmm. And that's an ability that we need to develop in every alternative. Otherwise, our alternatives are a little bit, you know, mainstream. We go a little bit left or right or whatever. So we are a little bit moderate to the mainstream. But that's not what is intended, meant by alternatives. Ukraine. I see a sister, and I know that people who went through war know what does it mean, the taste of war. So the pain of the world meets us all. The topic of Palestine is not mine. It's not mine only. If it's not yours, I have a question. It belongs to all of us. Every war, every genocide that is happening belongs to all of us. Because that's you try to make a regulation, co-regulation. And every thought that you have now on me, on us, I will be able to speak to the depth of my heart according to the attention that you put on me. That's, I cannot say scientifically proven, but let's use that sentence. The thing is that everything that is happening in the world is affecting you. Mm-hmm. You want to know it, you don't want to know it, it doesn't matter. It's affecting you in the basics. It is affecting you. So I'm saying, when we know that it affects us and we want to live in a life of awareness, let's bring the things and look at the pain in the eyes. So that's who you are. That's the pain, that's the fear. Let's look at it, let's face it. Let's grow capacities to solve it. Let's slow down, because times are urgent, are absolutely urgent. And they are very urgent from this place of that we need to take a stand for life. Again, not to take sides. But there is a very simple clarity. What actions are supporting life and what actions are not supporting life? You can just check it. If this action would be multiplied and repeated, does it bring us to happiness, safety, and thriving? If the answer is no, then it's not for life. Simple. You don't need to be Palestinian. You don't need to be Israeli. You don't need to be Ukrainian or Russian or this or that. You just look what action is taking care of life and what action is not taking care of life.
I love that very much, Aida. Maybe we can give it a moment also for all of you to integrate what you have heard, the different distinctions that Aida makes, and the invitations to ground the intensity of the world first in your body, so your capacity to host what you hear, because we are all collectively impacted of the movements of our world. Thank you, Aida. I will Bing. We can take one breath together, and then maybe we hear the second question.
I don't know how much vulnerability is asked after I spoke what I spoke, and what does it mean, vulnerability for all? I call for cautiousness when we speak terms, and I do feel impacted now. I cannot, that's my vulnerability. I thank you for the saying yes, and still to be impacted in my case is not just a somatic experience of a person miles away from Gaza. It's knowing that my relatives are being killed now, and it's facts. It's not about my nervous system or somatic experience. There are facts. And right now, although we are in somewhere in Sweden, I don't know how north, I feel threatened. I feel danger, especially a female body standing, a woman of color, already yesterday being attacked in this place. And now it is impacting. I don't want to be more brave so you can listen to me. I don't want to cry so you can listen to me. I don't want to be more vulnerable so you can listen to me. If you are inviting me to speak my knowledge bodies, then I would need the clarity that you want to listen. Otherwise, what is this game? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I stay standing so I can show you my dresses. It was cold before, huh? Okay. So I want to stay on the dresses. I don't know what questions you have. I want to show you the resilience of our people. And how many people come here from the Global South? Mashallah, mashallah. How many of you knows the importado of your cultures? So this our ways of why we go to eco-villages. Why do we create alternatives? Why do we create places to restore our heritage? Is that we can celebrate our roots. Is that we can know that we are part of land, and land wants to express itself through us. So when the women in Bethlehem would be sitting and chatting over coffee, they would see flowers, they would see plants. So what do they do with it? They put it on the dresses. It takes months to create something like this. This dress, 150 years old. The work that was done to do it is history. It's before all these systems that I'm, the one system that I'm speaking about. So my activism brought me to, and by now, did you see all the dress?
Yes.
Let's have a seat.
Great.
Thank you. I believe that only tribes will survive. I know and I believe that the history that tribes, and when I say tribes, not only indigenous tribes, but tribes and people who are land-based communities, they are the people who will survive any calamity that is coming. So I'm, with this understanding, my I'm devoting myself to call people back to the land. You already spoke a lot about it yesterday, but I will repeat it in my words. Is that the understanding that we are land, we are earth, we are mud. And you are your body, and your body is mud, and mud is you, and mud is land, and land is you. And all what works on land will work on you. So the laws of land will work on us as we are part of it, part of her. And when we, as Homo sapiens, fail to take the obligation of our duties of to be custodians for land, the laws of the land itself will administrate justice on us. So how does land administrate justice? She just shake away all what is not good for life. So when I say let us stand for life, is that you recognize what is life and you take a stand for it. Not only understand and take a stand for life, grow life, be life. And where can we grow life and be life? When we are closer to the land. Mm-hmm. When we are feeling what she is feeling. Mm-hmm. We are one with land. Our ancestors knew how to be one with land. Mm-hmm. Most of us, most of you, forgot it. And there are still people who can remind us to be one with life, one with land. Communities are the best place of rationality, best place of accountability. Because every action that you do in a proximate relation with others, you will know the impact of it. So I grew up in a tribe, in a community, still a patriarchal community, a Bedouin indigenous one, that I will speak about it afterward in my workshop. But still, it was a patriarchal one. And I wanted to live my erotical being as part, as being a feminist. I knew that all what we do in our relationships, one-on-one, we do to Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. So how we are standing in love among each other, how we practice love in our relationships, we practice it on Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. So I wanted a laboratory that gives me the possibility to check how I am with my love relationships and in my relationship with land within a group of people who are holding the same vision. And I do see that the more of us create spaces of decentralized communities, decentralized models, the more we can really detach from the systems that we are opposing to.
Maybe we can give it a breath there, Aida. Yeah. Thank you so much for reminding us how interconnected we are and how much we belong, because we are nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say that more to it, that it looks that our task in this era is to hospice modernity. Mm-hmm. It's a term that comes from, what's her name? Vanessa Oliveira, yeah, thank you. And what does it mean, hospicing modernity? What does it mean to hospice something? It is to see that a system is dying. Mm. How do you hospice somebody who is dying? What is the care? What is the love? But what is the clarity that you give to something that is dying? And hospicing modernity, while we are seeing something dying, we need to make sure that we already are working on creating the alternative. But what is an alternative that does not answer the questions that the system itself did not answer? Mm-hmm. So if our alternatives, as Angela Davis says, do not grasp the roots of things, do not go to abolish things, we will repeat the system, but in a more lighter way, in ways that are more, maybe more colorful for us, more softy for us, more whatever. I don't want to say words that triggers, but they do not administer justice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the land knows to do justice. Mm. And we need to create alternatives that administer justice. And justice for land is life. Can we create systems that administer justice for life? who are we when we are hospicing modernity? We are in,
it is so beautiful what you're sharing with us. Thank you. Yeah, let's take a moment and give a love shower. Exactly, also recognizing the human and the vulnerability sitting here on stage. Thank you all so much for being so loving and open. I'm deeply touched. If we speak about being vulnerable, I'm very, very touched. And as a short closure, not short, sorry, soft closure, maybe we could go into, how is love a political form for you?
Maybe we start with what is political? Many of us, especially in the alternative scene, we hear the word political and something from us want to get away from it. Politics is for the ones in the parliament and the ones in the parties. It's not for me. Am I good? So we accept this fragmentation. We exported politics to something central out there, and we leave our local communities apolitical. Everything is political. The personal is political. The political has an impact in the personal. It's all interdependent, interlinked, intertwined. Is this place where we say somebody else, somewhere else, making decisions over us? Political is the way people, now people, create agreements among them how to disseminate power, how to share the flow of resources and the flow of information. Every policy, every agreement that we do is politics because it affects each one of us. That's politics. Political is not out. It's a Greek term that says it's the issues of the people. That's politics. Politics, people. The topics of the people. So if our topic is agreements, we create policies and that becomes political to how are we staying here? How do we take decisions, disseminate power, flow of resources and information? That's political. Now, everything we do, we think that it's personal, it has a political dimension of it, and vice versa. So we cannot cut the political from the personal and personal from the political. For sure, we can also sometimes get lost in the personal, in the individual, in the private. So me and my topics, me and my love issue, me and my jealousy, me and my trauma, me and me and me and me. And by this, we repeat the systems that defragment us, makes us separate. None of us was created in vacuum. None of us was created out of relationships. We are all interconnected. So when you just dive into your personal story without understanding that the political setting that allowed your trauma to happen, even your jealousy to happen, your fear of loss to happen, then, excuse me, sorry, you can spend your life in self-empowerment workshops and another festival, but you did not change the conditions. So when love becomes political, is my request or my quest in life, my vocation in life of achieving, how do we decolonize love? Our love is colonized, is colored by colonialism. How does it colored by colonialism? We think that we are falling in love because Cupid said you fall in love with that person. No. we are set up to fall in love with certain people, with certain qualities, according to a mindset that is pre-designed for us. Most of us, most of you, most of the globe is loving and being attracted according to standardized beauty standards that according to white coloniality, part of colonialism. So many African and Asian and America Latina bodies are suffering from this normal standardization of beauty, of consumerism, of so many things like this. Love, as Bill Hooks says, we did wrong to love when we reduced love to the romantic love. That's a reduction. That's a very big reduction that is killing us. Love is not how I'm doing with you, with one relation or polyamory scene or multi, or how do I do in festivals with you, just that romantic, how do I do with my partner, which is a very important topic. But love is a force. Mm-hmm. Love is a force of life. Love is a political force. Love is the guiding star that tells us how to do politics, how to do economy, how to do social engineering. That's love. If I don't love, I shall not be an activist. Mm-hmm. If you don't love, you shall not go in the streets and demand this and that from the governments, because you are not motivated by love. I will go back to Gaza, to what's happening in Gaza now. I have to make sure that when I'm pointing toward the genocide that is happening to the Palestinian people, that I have in my heart as Aida enough love to Jewish people. If I don't have that love, and if you people, especially Europeans and Americans, North Americans, if you don't have that love to Jewish people, I spare you criticism to Israel. You don't need to do it. Because I want to know, I need to know that you first really love Jewish people. And you are not only acting from guilt and compensations to what your ancestors could not do 80 years ago. So you need to love. And for me as a Palestinian, to have the courage, as Maya Angelou said, that nowadays the biggest thing that we need is courage. Courage to still love when you are so under heavy hands and still love, that's courage. To still build alternatives when you see the world is dying and species are being killed. To still look and say, nevertheless, I plant a tree. And I do another mud house. That's courage. Courage to look into people's eyes and, for me as Aida, not asking you, did you stand for my people? Do you have a political statement against the genocide? But even before demanding you that, I send you my love. That's courage. And I want to create spaces where this courage is not a burden, where this courage doesn't go beyond our capacities, where this courage makes us grow, where you multiply my courage and I do the same to you. So love is political, and politics is love, and when we make politics embedded in love, we will do great, amazing things. We often think that, oh, let's bring love, and maybe if politicians would be with open hearts, they will do other decisions for life. Yes, maybe. But without understanding the setup that many of us are blindly falling into, you can see. You can see what's happening in Gaza. You can, let's go far away from Gaza. You can see what's happening in Iraq, in Syria, in many places. Let's take it away from Israel. Look how a great American person can done thousands of workshops, and he is really a loving person to his partner. Really overcame jealousy, really sharing love, and a great father growing his children to being great as let's say now male bodies in patriarchy, really a loving being. And still that loving being, if not understanding the setup that is made up for you, you can be ending in being a soldier that drops 80 tons of bombs on somewhere else. And that same person can still go in the streets and demand for climate justice and climate corrections. But what is the size of 80 tons of bombs on Gaza? Aren't they in the same planet? Do they affect the same ozone? Does the water that is polluted in Gaza and many other places in Africa, isn't it the same water that we are showering here? It's like these places where we accept that we are fragmented and we work on one thing. None of us in vacuum. None of us is not interdependent, related to others. So how do we bring love into this? Love. I'm coining this term of loving no. I don't know if it's mine, but I'm trying to coin something. So this loving no comes from the essence of nonviolence, which is based on what I said before, judgment and condemnation. In the essence of nonviolence is this place that I mirror to you what you are doing. Am I good? I'm feeling not so safe, so anything coming from the sides, I'm troubled. But go on. I know I see that you're taking a photo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe let's make sure that the sauna is working today so I can relax.
Yeah. So, Aida.
Moment, I just finished this bow. And sorry.
Yes.
So I mirror to you what your actions having an impact on me and everything. But at the same time, with the clarity of the mirror that I'm giving you, I need to have the enough love to hold your back. Mm-hmm. So you don't fall from that mirror. You don't fall back to nothing. And if we don't have these both at the same time, with the same intensity, with the same love, don't mirror. Don't mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Don't point when you are not still yet based in love and something alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Pointing and shaming and blaming and putting the blame on somebody else. We did it a lot. We did it a lot. Can't we do something else? So I'm calling for this love, for the hand that holds also the jailer. I'm calling for alternatives that free the jailer and the prisoner and dismantle the jail itself.
Yes. And maybe we can leave it at that. If you want to hear more from Aida, she will have a series of around 8 workshops at the gathering. This time, today, she will do re-indigenization of our roots and continuing the model of freeing love with sexuality with her team from Tamera. You can find her here on site with the reminder of be gentle, stay relational and human, also with Aida. Thank you so much. Let's give her a big love shower.
Let's be relevant for these days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning into Community, the Genuro podcast. We are the European Ecovillage Network. We empower, connect, and inspire communities and individuals to live well together within planetary boundaries. To find out more about ecovillages and how to get involved, visit our website at gen-europe.org and follow GenEurope on our social media.